Good morning.
Has joined.
Morning.
Are you the only one who's on?
I think so.
Okay. You were listening to music?
I'm sorry, what?
You were listening to music?
Yes. And it said, waiting for the moderator again.
Yeah, that's what it says. So I apologize for you having to wait for me. But I was doing some research on something I wanted to say. So let us begin with L'Shem Yehud. L'Shem Yehud kud shabarichu ishkinte bit hilu urchimu udhilu udhilu urchimu. L'achta L'Shem yudhe bavavte. The Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, Lasok Torah Mitzvah, Vayhino Amadunai Elohino Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kanenei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kanenehu. We're studying the first Aliyah, the first Aliyah for the Parashah of Yitro. And we know the Yitro, the essence of Yitro is the Esser Dibrot, the 10 utterances. But there's a lot of other extremely interesting material from the Zohar about face and hand reading. We discussed it last night, and we'll continue to discuss it for a number of years. But the first Aliyah has 12 verses. It begins at chapter 18, verse 1, and completes at verse 12. Those 12 verses connect
has
to the
joined.
12 because the 12 tribes is what who heard the Esser Dibrot. There's also the Hebrew word for father-in-law, which is koten, ket taf nun. And the Zohar explains, I think it's the Zohar, I thought, but I'm not sure where I read it or where I heard it. But the word koten has concealed in within it the word ach, which means brother. And it relates to the concealment of the reincarnation that Yitro was Cain, and Moses was Hevel. And this was their reincarnation and their correction in the giving of Zipporah by Yitro to Moses, corrected the jealousy associated with Moses or Abel having two wives. The way that Koten connects to brother in a concealed way is through the Atbash method of letter substitution. Koten is spelled Chet Taf Nun. The last two letters in Atbash, the Taf becomes an Aleph, and the Nun, which is the 14th letter, becomes the Chet. And the word Choten in the first two Aliyot is repeated a significant amount of times. I remember being told or counting that it was 9 times, but I didn't really have time to do it properly today. But I again counted 9 times in the first two Aliyot of Yitro that Choten is repeated. And we know words and letters are not repeated in the Torah. There is a significant teaching in that statement. And if it is 9 times, we get two interesting facts. The number 9 is the letter Tet, the 9th letter of the alphabet. And Tet stands or is an acronym for the word Tov, which means good. The gematria of Chotem is 458. And in small gematria, 4 plus 5 plus 8 is 17. Which is good. We will begin the reading with verse 1. Vayishma Yitro Kohen Midyan Choten Moshe et Kol Asher Asa Elohim L'Moshe da nu yo yo ahe da wanu heyo et Yisrael mi mitzrayim vayikach yitrochotein Moshe et tzipora eshet Moshe achar shilucheha v'et shenei vaneha asher shem ha'echad gershom ki amar ger hayiti ve'eretz nachriya v'shem ha'echad Eliezer ki Elohe avi ve'ezri ve'yetzleni meherev paro v'yavo yitro chotein Moshe uvana ve'ishto el Moshe el hamidbar Asher hohu honesham ar ha'elohim. Vayomer el Moshe ani chotencha. Yitro ba elecha vayishtecha ushnei banecha. The word chotencha means your father-in-law, and it's the fourth time in this first aliyah that the word has been repeated. Vayetze Moshe likrat chotno vayishtachu vayishach lo vishalu ish l'reyehu l'shalom vayavo ha'ohayela. The word tet taf nun is also in this verse with a vav at the end. It's pronounced chot no, and it again is his father-in-law. So that's the fifth time. Vaisa p'per Moshe lechot no et kol asher asa Adonai yohe wahe adanu yo Yo aheda wanu heyo liparo mitraim alo dot Yisrael et kol hatla'a asher mitza'acham baderech vayetzlem Adonai yohe wahe adanu yo yo aheda wanu heyo vayichad yitro al kol hatova asher asa Adonai yohe wahe adanu yo yo aheda wanu heyo Li Yisrael asher hitzilo miyad mitzrayim vayomer yitro baruch Adonai yohe wahe adanu yo yo aheda wanu heyo asher hitzil etchem Miyad Mitzrayim Umiyad Paro Asher Hitzil Et Ha'am Mitachat Yad Mitzrayim Atayadati kigadol Adonai yohe wahe adanu yo yohe dawanu he yo mikol ha Elohim kivadavar asher zadu alehem Vayikach Yitrocho Tein Moshe Ola Uzvachim Lelohim V'yavo Acharon V'kol Ziknei Yisrael Ve'ekolachem Imcho Tein Moshe Lifnei Elohim. So Chotein is in the eight, is repeated eight times in this first Aliyah. Tomorrow we'll try and count, see what the difference is. I know that there's at least one in the second Aliyah, and it may be three. I can't remember if it's eight or if it's nine or 11 in the first two Aliyot. So we will now study the English translation, where we learn many things. Now Moses' father-in-law, Yitro, the chieftain of Midian, heard all that Elohim had done for Moses and for Israel. His people that Hashem had taken Israel out of Egypt. Now, we have to ask a question. Why was the two names separated, or the two different names are used in this first verse? As chieftain of Midian, he had a connection, like all non-Jewish people have the potential to connect to God in the same tools that the Jewish people are given, the same system of spirituality. But they're not able to get to Hashem. Yitro was the head of all the idol-worshipping systems. He knew them all. He knew how they worked. He knew how to use them. And he was able to connect to the level of Elohim, to the level of judgment, to the level of the left column. But he was not able to connect to Hashem. Verse 2. So Moses' father-in-law, Yitro, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after she had been sent away. We know from the Parasha of Shemot that Zipporah went with Moses to Egypt along with his son. And there was the question of why didn't he wait until the eighth day and then make the Brit, the circumcision. But here is this relationship between Yitro and Moses, all relating to Zipporah. In the Parasha of Shemot, Zipporah is given to Moses as his wife. And now we have this word that Yitro took Zipporah. Why we use that word? It could have, why not say that Moses sent Zipporah to Yitro for safety? Or whatever the reason was. It's a significant verse in explaining the relationship, because Zipporah was a reincarnation of that second twin sister of Abel. And the question is, who is she? She's a soulmate to either Cain or to Abel. We don't know who she is. If she's a soulmate to Cain, then he, because we know Cain is, has the potential to be greater than Moses, as we learn from the Midrash about Rabbi Akiva, who is a reincarnation of Yitro and Cain. So this, we have this idea of Tzipporah. While she was a twin sister of Moshe, she could very well have been the soulmate for Yitro, providing he accepted his responsibility and made his tikkun in that first lifetime, which he did not. And it was over the jealousy of this second twin sister of Moses. So by giving her in the parasha of Shemot, the tikkun is completed. But this statement that Yitro took Tzipporah is an indication that he had reached that level, and now he has the relationship with his daughter, not obviously in a sexual way, but in a way that he is responsible to care for her, and she for him. The third verse. And her two sons, one of whom was named Gershom, because he, meeting Moses, said, I was a stranger in a foreign land. And one who was named Eliezer, because, again, Moses said, the Hashem of my father came to my aid and rescued me from Pharaoh's sword. And Moses' father-in-law, Yitro, and his sons, and his wife came to Moses into the desert, where he was encamped, to the mountain of Hashem. And he said to Moses, I, Yitro, your father-in-law, am coming to you, and so is your wife and her two sons with her. Do the sons only belong to Zipporah? Don't they also belong to Moses? So Moses went out toward Yitro, prostrated himself, and kissed him. And they greeted one another, and they entered the tent. You notice the shortening of the way here? He went out to meet him, and then they entered the tent. Do you think they didn't walk back? Moses told his father-in-law about all that Hashem had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians on account of Israel, and about all the hardships that had befallen them on the way, and that Hashem had saved them. Yitro was happy about all the good that Hashem had done for Israel, that he had rescued them from the hands of the Egyptians. Yitro said, Blessed is Hashem, who has rescued you from the hands of the Egyptians and from the hand of Paro, who has rescued the people from beneath the hand of the Egyptians. And I know that Hashem is greater than all the deities, for with the thing that they plotted, he came upon them. Then Moses' father-in-law, Yitro, sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings to Hashem. And Aaron and all the elders of Israel came to dine with Moses' father-in-law before Hashem. We have completed the reading. Does anybody have any questions? the 11th.
No.
Yes.
You say that it was Moshe's
father-in-law.
Well, you said father-in-law, but you also mentioned Moshe's twin sister.
Yes.
Okay, so we don't know who that was, right? Other than Zipporah, maybe? It was Zipporah?
Zipporah is the reincarnation of Abel's second twin sister.
Okay, but Moshe himself, when he was born with a twin sister? Because there was Marianne and Aaron.
No.
And Moshe.
Okay. No. No, only in the early generations were the soulmates so close that they were born into the as twin sisters or very close. By the time it got to the 12 tribes, the twin sisters that the brothers were born with were not their soulmates. They married their brother's twin sisters.
Okay, so the twin sister we're talking about here is from Havel.
No, the twin Zipporah is the reincarnation of a twin sister of Abel.
Okay.
And when Abel was born with two twin sisters, while Cain was born with only one.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Only one of the two brothers was going to elevate themselves to a higher level in the same way that Jacob elevated himself to a higher level. And that was the relationship between the two twin sisters of that Jacob married, which was Rachel and Leah. So when Jacob essentially outgrew Rachel and her tikkun was completed, that's when she died on the way to Ephrat, if I remember the language. And he buried her on the road, on the way.
Uh-huh.
But he had elevated himself to be the appropriate soulmate to Leah. Now, I shouldn't say that he had done that by himself. He did that with the help of the two women, or with the four women. I hope it's clear and not confusing.
Yeah, absolutely. That's cool.
So the 11th paragraph in chapter 4 is where we have a few minutes we can study. I think we may have done this, the vulture, but if we didn't, we're going to do it again because it's an interesting paragraph. Nesher Omer, we ata Adonai yo hey wahe adanu yo yo wahe dawanu hey yo Elohim tivaut. Elohe Israel, Akitzali Kitlivkot, Kol Hagoyim, Al Tachon, Kol Begode Awin, Selah. This is a verse from Psalms. The vulture is saying, now, normally, it's the eagle is saying. That is the traditional translation of Nesher. But Nesher, the biologists say, we don't have any evidence that there was an eagle in the land of Israel in biblical times. We do have this very unusual bird, a specific species of vulture, who was extremely careful and protective in nurturing its children. And so this translation, the person who did this translation of Perek Shirah, is the Zoo Rabbi, and he is the one who has explained this different translation. So the vulture is saying, and you, Hashem Elohim, Tzivaot, you have three names of God, one after the other. Actually four, because you also have Elohei, which is the word that we translate as Lord, or, you know, we always say it's really Elohim, but they left off the mem. And you, Hashem Elohim Tzivaot, Elohei of Israel, awake to punish all the nations. Do not be gracious to any wicked traitors, Selah. The word gracious is tachechon, which is a conjugation of the word chen. And we know the word chen, which is a shoresh of the name Chanoch or Chana, that shoresh represents Chachma Nestar, concealed wisdom. It also is a shoresh out of the Aramaic, the two-letter shoreshim, for education and dedication. There are two different aspects to it. So why does it say, do not be gracious, meaning do not give the wicked traitors any of the chen, any of the chachma nestar, the concealed wisdom, selah? Why is it coming from the nesher, which is, in this translation, a vulture? And it's more easy to understand that you don't want the vulture who lives off dead things to be able to be connected to living things, which is what Chachma Nestar represents, what grace represents, a connection to the tree of life. But if you say it to the eagle, the traditional translation of Nesher, how does this work? If you look at the three letters of Nesher, the Nun, which represents falling or diminishment, Shar means the gates, Shar means straight. And yet this represents the central column. It's difficult to understand this. But I will give you a hint. Nesher, you'll see the segol vowel under both letters, Nun and Shin. If you add the gematria to Nesher, you have 550 is the direct gematria, plus 60 makes it 610. And if you add a kolel for each letter, it's connecting to the 613 mitzvot. That's something I have not read. It's something I have not been taught. So you'll have to decide whether you think that's true. The question I'm asking is, how do we reconcile that the Nesher is the central column? And I've given you one explanation for why I think that's true. It's up for you to determine whether my opinion is accurate. Does anybody have any questions? We have two more classes today. We will continue the study of the 10 luminous emanations, but it's just going to be for 1 week, and then we start to move in preparing for the Shekalim and for Purim and for Pesach. So we have a lot of material that we need to review and remember and prepare ourselves for. But we will continue to read 10 luminous emanations in our 11 o'clock class, or 10:30 class today. And our 3 o'clock class will be the study of the Psalm. I believe it's going to be 94, but I may be wrong. You all have a Shavuot Tov. Shalom Gadol to all. Shalom.
Okay. Shalom Gadol.